What I'd like to do for just a few moments is to share some exhortations with you from the Scripture. These are exhortations which, I couldn't get away from it, and yet I kept telling myself, Tim, they heard this message twice before this year. Now, how many of you can tell me what chapter in James I'm turning to? James chapter 1. Look at it with me. Try as I might, it was there. And we're going to take a quick look at it for just a few moments this evening. Let's pray and ask God to direct our thoughts on the Scripture this evening. Father, if the Holy Spirit is not our teacher, if the Spirit of God does not superintend His Word, we learn nothing. Nothing of eternal value. And at this moment, we pause and ask you for direction and guidance and help, that the Word of God might be taught clearly, and that those who hear might be doers of the Word. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Draw your attention to the 19th verse, where the paragraph begins that I want to take some thoughts from. James says, "This you know, my beloved brethren, but let everyone be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. But prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man shall be blessed in what he does. If anyone thinks himself to be religious and yet does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is worthless. This is pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father, to visit orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself unstained by the world." What do we do with our knowledge of God's Word? What do you do with all of the teaching that you get, with all of the instruction that you hear, with all that you take in private devotions, through recordings, through radio, through television? What do we do with the Word of God? Well, the call to do what it says lies at the very center of all that James teaches. James is a book of doing. And I think he and Dr. Hendricks perhaps went to seminary together. Because Howard Hendricks told us over and over and over again, "Men, when you get out of here, you'd better be ready to put shoe leather on your theology." And he was saying the same thing that James is saying here. Be doers of the word. You can sum up the message of this whole book in these words: put into practice what you profess to believe. And that is exactly what God intends for us to do. And so this evening, I just want to bring to our attention again four short exhortations from this passage. Look at the 21st verse, where we get into the context of these four exhortations. Right in the middle of the verse, James says, "In humility, receive the word implanted." Receive the word in humility. That is, receive the teaching of God's word in a quiet, teachable spirit. Do you sit under the teaching of God's Word in whatever context it is with a quiet, teachable spirit? Here, when he uses the word humility, primarily, it's a readiness to listen, a readiness to learn, a readiness to accept correction, to submit one's life uncomplainingly to the control of God's Spirit. Is that the way you sit under the teaching of the Word of God? In humility, so that the Spirit of God can teach you. Now in verse 22, we have the first of these exhortations. There are four of them that I want to bring to our attention. First of all, he says, prove yourselves doers of the Word. That is a command, friends. That is not a choice that we have. You cannot make a choice to do the Word or not to do the Word. That is a command, and it means literally keep on becoming doers of the Word. Now, there are two things intended here. One, obedience to the Word and its directions for living. And secondly, persistence in living, even in times of trial and problems. He says, be doers of the Word, not merely hearers. You see, the Word of God is given to us not merely to fill us with knowledge. We are not sitting under the teaching of the Word to become merely intellectual giants or spiritually intellectual giants. It's our guide for living. Do we take what we know of God and His Word and put it into practice after we leave the particular situation where we've been taught? It's our guide for living. The message heard is a message that is to be translated into life, so that those who see us recognize there's something different. And they do not recognize that out of what is stored up here, but out of what issues out of the heart. This is where life is, see. Be doers. Now, that's not to set aside hearing as being unessential. Hearing is a necessary part of the Christian life. I'm reminded, for example, of what Paul wrote to the Romans when he said in Romans 10:17, so faith comes by what? Hearing. Don't neglect sitting under the teaching of the Word. Don't neglect opportunities to be taught and to study the Word. Faith or hearing is a necessary part of faith, but faith that remains at the hearing stage, James says, will delude us. It is deceptive. You know why it's deceptive? Because hearing or faith left at the hearing stage lacks obedience. Think about that. Faith left at the hearing stage lacks obedience. Be doers of the Word. Secondly, I'm looking at verse 25. But one who looks intently at the perfect law. Be those who look intently at the perfect law, the Word. Verse 25, the word literally means to gaze carefully. In other words, when I have the Word of God, when I sit under the teaching of the Word of God, it is more than just a glossing over. I do more than just come into this room, into this building, or into a classroom, and just sit there and while away the time with thoughts of other things. But rather, I give careful attention to the Word. When I read it, I study it. I don't just gloss over it. The exhortation here is to be one who looks intently at the perfect law of God. I gaze carefully. I study the Word. I apply it. I allow the Word, as I read it, to saturate my being, to feed me, to guide me in living. That doesn't happen with just a glance. What do we do with the Word of God? We're doers of the Word, but we're those who study it carefully, allow it to saturate our being. those, as it goes on to elaborate on the illustration here, the one who just takes a glance in verse 24, who doesn't look intently. The one who just glances and runs off forgets. He forgets what he's read. He doesn't know what to do with what he's just glossed over. Look intently, study, so that it feeds your soul. There's a third exhortation in verse 26. If anyone thinks himself to be religious and yet does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is worthless. The third exhortation is that we should be those who bridle our tongue. This past year, if someone paid you $10 for every kind word you ever spoke about other people, $10 for every kind word you spoke about others, and took away $5 for every unkind thing you said, would you be rich or poor? On a windswept hill in an English country churchyard, there's a drab old gray tombstone that you can hardly read the writing on, but these are the words on that tombstone. Beneath this stone, a lump of clay, lies Henry David Young, who on the 24th of May began to hold his tongue. Our actions and our tongue need to clearly reflect our relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm reminded of the words of the Apostle Paul to the Ephesians, words that I once had memorized and have not reviewed, a word that you're all familiar with, 4:29, Hebrews 4:29, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification, according to the need of the moment. You know, I think there'd be a lot of silence if we really followed that. Only such a word as is good for the need of the moment, that it may give grace to those who hear. Let no, you know what the word unwholesome literally means in the Greek? Rotten. It's in the margin of some of your Bibles. Let no rotten words proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification, for building up. There is nothing that will destroy the body of Christ or the local assembly quicker than gossip, than rumors, than half-truths that float around. And that can happen so easily and so quickly. Let us be those who bridle the tongue so that our actions and our talk reflect our relationship to God. There's a fourth exhortation, and it's in the last verse, verse 27. This is pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father, to visit orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself unstained by the world. There is nothing apparently more difficult for the believer today than to keep himself unstained and unspotted from the world. We have gone to the opposite extreme and have fooled ourselves into thinking that to be a light in the world and to be salt and to be an ambassador, we must look exactly like them. And that is not so. There is so much of the world in the body of Christ today that you cannot tell us apart. And I don't have to name any names, but simply need to say that it has gone from those who are the most public of all figures, claiming the name of Christ, claiming to be leaders of the body of Christ, who have failed to keep themselves unspotted by the world. This is a call for godliness and personal purity in life. Rick and Paul and I attended a pastor's conference in Dallas a couple of weeks ago. And Dr. Hendricks is a very, very close friend of Chuck Swindoll's. And they get together on a regular basis. And he said, the last time I called up, we were talking about some of the men who had fallen by the wayside, and Chuck just began to cry over the phone. And he said, just tell me, Prof, just tell me one thing. Are you clean? We need to be godly. There needs to be a difference in our lifestyle. There needs to be something that is unique about us, because the one that we serve is unique and different. He is holy. He is righteous. And we, in the Word of God, are called to holiness and righteousness. We are not called to dress ourselves in the garb of ungodliness. And we so regularly do. I pray that it is not said of us that we are mere talkers who glance into the Word and deceive ourselves. I pray that we are not mere talkers whose words are empty and meaningless. Be doers of the Word. Look intently at the Word of God. Bridle your tongue and keep yourself holy. Let's pray. Father, these things are difficult to do, but we have the indwelling Holy Spirit who empowers us and enables us to do these things. Oh God, we are human, we are frail, and we cannot point the finger at others and say that we will not fall the same way. Oh God, may we say nothing but, there by the grace of God go I. Because it is God's grace that keeps us pure. It is God's grace that enables us to keep our tongue under control. It is God's grace that enables us to study intently the Word of God. And it is God's grace that enables us and gives us the privilege of being doers of the Word. Lord Jesus, thank you for these exhortations. Thank you for your goodness and your grace and your faithfulness to us, your people. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.